Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He owns and operates the Pack-A-Day podcast that airs 365 days a year with over 12 million views on YouTube. A new adventure begins. It's time for the Pack-A-Day radio show with Andy Herman on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
So today, I make my official announcement to retire from the NFL. The NFL said I was retired right at the end of this season, because if you don't play for a year, you technically just ride off into the sunset. But you know what? I'm not riding off into the sunset.
That's right.
I always was so worried and fearful of retirement, of being done with something, being done with an end of a career. But you know what? I found things I'm chasing. I found things I'm passionate. Molly said it so well to me yesterday, because I was looking for words to say. And she said, Mason, it's about gratitude, attitude, and what the future holds.
What's going on, Milwaukee? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into the Pack-A-Day radio show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, and powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. What a moment for Mason Crosby yesterday. Excited to get into that. Congratulations to Mason. What an unbelievable career. Can't wait to kind of break that down a little bit further. We're going to be talking about that right at the onset here. We're also going to be talking with Luke Braun. Locked On Vikings, 8:20 a.m. Really excited about that conversation. You're not going to want to miss it. The Vikings have a very, very interesting offseason. I'm excited to see how they're going to attack that, and there's nobody better to go to for Vikings info than Luke Braun, so stick around for that at 8:20. As always, would love for you to join the show. You can join us on the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. From a Wisconsin sports standpoint, the big news right now is the trade deadline. What are the Bucks going to do? A lot of buzz yesterday that the Bucks may just trade Chris Middleton for not Jimmy Butler, not Bradley Beal, not Kevin Durant, Kyle Kuzma. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Is it more real today? We're going to go over that as well. I don't know how, I don't even know how I'm going to get into that one, because that's a very interesting topic, but we'll get into it nonetheless. But I want to start with the announcement yesterday, which was extra cool from our standpoint, because of course Mason made it right here on the Mason Crosby Show, which, cheap plug, you can find right here from 9 to 11 right here on The Fan. And I've obviously got to know Mason just a little bit here over the past couple of months, because I lead into a show. We get to do the Pack-A-Day radio show, and then we get to cross over right into the Mason Crosby show. I have had the opportunity, obviously, to go on his show and kind of do that, you know, kind of crossover, especially during the season, and chat with him. And man, he's unbelievable, dude. We knew already how awesome he is as a kicker. We knew really how awesome he is as a Packer and somebody who carries the G consistently. Getting to know him even a little bit better has been really, really fun. And it's everything that you would expected. You know, sometimes you get to know people and you're like, oh, that guy's actually a piece of crap. That is the antithesis of what happened with Mason Crosby. He just continues to show his colors, and the type of person that he is, the type of player that he was pretty darn special as well. Packers Hall of Famer. No doubt about it. Should be a day one as soon as he is eligible. Packers Hall of Famer. A 17-year NFL career, 16 of those which were with the Green Bay Packers, of course. A Super Bowl champion. The Packers' all-time leading scorer. Mason Crosby just happens to be the 11th all-time leading scorer in NFL history. Like, just think about that for a moment. How many players there have been in the history of the NFL? And I get that kickers have a little bit of a advantage here. Obviously, kickers with longevity have a very, you know, have an advantage here. But still, all the players that have played in the history of the NFL, 11th all-time in the history of the NFL in points scored. That's pretty freaking amazing. He has 1,918 points as a member of the Green Bay Packers. And we talk about all the players in the history of the NFL. How about from a Packers standpoint? That is 864 more points than Ryan Longwell, who is second on that list. 864 more points than number two on the Packers all-time leading scorer list. He's made 395 field goals in Green Bay. The second on that list, also Ryan Longwell, 169. I mean, it's not even close. It's laughable. It's not even remotely in the same vicinity. He has the NFL record for most consecutive made kicks in a postseason with 20. He kicked 105 postseason kicks all time, made 101 of them. 101 of his 105 postseason kicks. And of course, this all-time phenomenal game-winning kick against Dallas.
This to send the Packers into the NFC Championship game. It is good! The Packers are moving on! Aaron Rodgers has done it again! And Mason Crosby, a hero for Green Bay.
That's just an all-time moment. An absolute all-time moment. A moment for Mason Crosby, the Packers, winning in Dallas. I know that sometimes, like, we get these big plays that we are reminded of. I talked a little bit on the podcast today about the double throws to Jeff Janis, including the Hail Mary. And you just can't enjoy them because you know what happens next. I mean, we can still enjoy them to an extent, that the two plays to Janis and how he went from his own end zone down to, yeah, basically hitting the Hail Mary in no time whatsoever is an unbelievable play from Rodgers and the entire Packers offense on that day, specifically Janis as well. But we know what happens after that. As soon as the Cardinals get the ball in OT, they go down, they score, and it's over, and the Cardinals win. And the thing that we talk about most after that is, should the Packers have gone for two? And it's still, again, an all-time play. It's an unbelievable play, but it's not paid off because it doesn't end up in a win. In this case, because Mason Crosby makes this 50-plus yarder against Dallas to send him to victory, we can continue to talk about that unbelievable throw to Jared Cook from Aaron Rodgers, the one along the sidelines, because Crosby pays it off in the end. Obviously, that's the secondary thing here, that the game-winning kick gets them, you know, into the NFC Championship game as well. But again, what Crosby was able to do in that moment, and so many clutch moments throughout the course of his career, what an unbelievable player, what an unbelievable moment for him yesterday. Tommy and friends did such an unbelievable job celebrating the life and career of Mason Crosby. And it's just cool that, you know, he got to experience that, and that, again, we got to kind of do that as a fan family yesterday. So congratulations to Mason Crosby. Tommy, what was your favorite moment of that yesterday as you were kind of going through, as Mason was having that happen in real time? Like, what was just that, you know, as you were kind of producing the show and working on all that, how did that all go yesterday?
Honestly, I think the best moment was just watching it unfold and become a bigger deal to Mason. So he had put us in the loop about it maybe a week or two ago, and he did not want to make a big deal about it, it felt like. I think he just wanted to say it and then move on and have a whole show for it after that. And Mitch and myself, we both were like, dude, we got to make this like a thing. You got to get a little more involved with it. I know he's a very humble guy. He is pretty down to earth for being, you know, a professional athlete. And you could tell that he didn't realize how much it meant to other people until he had announced it. And, you know, I had convinced him to get his wife on the show. We surprised him with his parents. We had former teammates, Donald Driver, Josh Sitton, Jordy Nelson, all called in yesterday. And his brother actually joined us at the end of the show as well. So it was really awesome just to see him like evolve throughout the show on, wow, okay, this was kind of a big deal. He didn't want it to be. And then he saw that he didn't have to want it to be. People were going to make it a big deal.
I think one of the cool things of like just on this, you know, adjacent to it is, you know, we kind of talked about it. You know, you let me know what the announcement was. So I'm like, hey, what's the announcement? What's the announcement? You let me know. And then to kind of see it go from as soon as the show started to start seeing things like just adjacent to it on social media happening, like all the big accounts start tweeting it out. And all, of course, the Packers beat writers tweeting it out and things like that. And it becoming this huge thing on social media that's happening simultaneously as you guys are doing the show yesterday. I know Eli Berkovitz, again, who we just had on last week, posted all the game-winning kicks for Mason Crosby. And it was really kind of cool to know, again, that this was all happening here on The Fan at one point, but it was also taking this awesome life of its own online as well. And really just, again, celebrating this unbelievable career that Mason Crosby had and all the clutch and key moments. It was really cool to see. And to your point, you know, kind of, and I'm sure how Mason was feeling is like, all right, how is this, you know, going to get taken? And then just to see it again, you guys did such a tremendous job with making that happen yesterday, but then also just to see it take off all over the internet, social media as well, especially obviously in the Packer sphere, just awesome all the way around. And could not happen to a more deserving person.
Right. And on top of it, you know, that was kind of my challenge of it, right? I wanted to get it out quickly and efficiently so it could happen while it was going on during the show. So I am completely pushing everything off that I usually do post-show to make sure that this is done correctly, and I'm constantly making sure with everyone here, like, we want to do this, is this what we want, and pushing out social media and trying to make sure that it goes as smoothly as possible, because it's a big moment for a guy who's an all-time Packer. So, good thing he doesn't listen to this show, because then I can be as nice to him as I want. he'll be sleeping or dropping a kid off right now. But I had to try to make it a good moment for him, and I think we did a great job. You know, his team over at Team Lammy was also really great and helpful. They hooked it up with Packers guests for us. They had the press report ready to go as soon as he announced it. I mean, I don't know if you checked ESPN yesterday, Andy. He was on like the front page of ESPN at a point. So
that's awesome.
Like, I mean, they did blow it up into a really big deal. You couldn't be a Packer fan and on Twitter and not have seen the news yesterday. And then Micah Hyde decided to steal all his thunder on top of it. So I thought it was an awesome moment for him. I was happy to be a super small part of it.
Thankfully, there was a lot of whispers and rumors already about Micah Hyde. So most people, I think, knew that already. But we're going to be talking to Micah Hyde on the Mason Crosby Show today, correct?
Tomorrow at 10 a.m., okay. Yes. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., Micah Hyde will be on.
That's going to be great. I can't wait for that as well. And just a kind of a cool day and the juxtaposition of one that got to stay a Packer for, you know, 16 years, another that should have had the opportunity to stay a Packer for 16 years, but I digress. But no, two really fun Packers. And it was fun seeing some of the Micah Hyde stuff floating around yesterday and just remembering some of the cool stuff
that he did. You do have one accolade you are missing on his career right there as well, Andy. So all those are great, but the one record that we had discovered that was quite hilarious that we make fun of him for now, it's a good record. It's not a bad record to have. But Mason Crosby...
Wait. I'm going to guess.
Oh, okay.
I have two guesses here. It's either going to be something to do with his onside kicks, or it's going to have to be... My more likely thing is with tackles.
Ooh, no. Neither one of those.
Okay.
That you did remind me of another one that was also a good one to make fun of. He does have the longest college kick at sea level. So 59 yards, I believe, he kicked a ball at sea level in college at Miami, I want to say it was.
Okay, that's impressive.
Yeah, so it's not the longest kick in college, but the longest kick at sea level. And then the other one is Mason Crosby has the highest by default, because he's made the most, extra points in postseason history without missing. So he's got he's got 100% on his extra points in postseason history. Anyone who has more than him, which I believe is only Gostkowski and maybe Vinatieri, they both missed an extra point in the postseason. Mason Crosby, if you scored the touchdown, you were getting that seventh point.
There you go. And it did remind me, actually, he was a good tackler on like kickoffs. If it got to Mason Crosby, he was usually making that tackle.
He talks about how he hit Cordell Patterson or caught Cordell Patterson on a kickoff Every week he'll bring it up. He'll be like, I was an athlete back in the day. So, and that was back when Cordell Patterson was, you know, viewed as one of the most dangerous weapons in the league.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so not today's Cordell Patterson. But, yeah, I mean, it's awesome career to highlight for sure.
Tell me, if I tackled Cordell Patterson in anything, if I saw him at the grocery store and he didn't see it coming and I found a way to tackle Cordell Patterson, I would bring it up every single day.
Yes.
I would bring it up every single day.
I played high school football against Zach Bond. And I missed a tackle on him, and I talk about it all the time.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And then, yeah, the onside kicks too. I think this is why he's actually retiring. If I'm being honest, I think it's because you can't do surprise onside kicks anymore. Because he was the master of the surprise onside kick. He was fantastic at it. And yeah, just another thing that he brought to the table. And yeah, it's awesome again that you guys got to do that yesterday. I do want to talk a little bit about a new coach as well, though. So we'll put the Mason Crosby stuff to the side for just a little bit, although we're still going to be celebrating on the side. Of course, you're listening to the Pack-A-Day radio show right here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, in the Potawatomi Sportsbook Studios. I want to talk about the Packers allegedly now officially kind of reported on multiple levels, new linebackers coach, and that is Sean Duggan. We talked about him a little bit prior. This has been the expected new coach here. Remember, Anthony Campanelli is heading out to Jacksonville for their defensive coordinator position. And this was the likely linebackers coach. Kudos to Tom Silverstein, who has been on this since before Anthony Campanelli got hired. When Anthony Campanelli got interviewed, Silverstein put out an article that said, if Campanelli gets hired, the expectation is that Sean Duggan will become the new linebackers coach, and then reported on it again once Campanelli was hired. So Silverstein, per usual, was all over this. Kudos to him. But this is a really fun hire, I think, for Green Bay. And it just really goes to show you how great of a job Green Bay did last year in kind of stocking some of these coaching rooms with very viable coaches who could come and step in should some of these things happen. One of them was with Sean Mannion on offense, which we've talked about how they got him as an offensive assistant. The Packers were thrilled to be able to get him in the organization in some capacity, thinking at some point he's probably going to be a future quarterbacks coach, whether it be for Green Bay or somewhere else. And now with Tom Clements leaving, he gets that year to mentor under Tom Clements, and now gets to be that quarterback's coach with a year of that experience under his belt. So that's worked out perfectly. And then on defense, you know, Sean Duggan was somebody who has been with Jeff Hafley since his time at Ohio State. So he's been with Jeff Hafley since 2019. He had worked his way all the way up at Boston College to co-defensive coordinator and linebackers coach. So we're not talking about somebody who was in college of like, maybe if he's just a linebackers coach or some sort of positional coach, like you make that transition into the NFL and maybe you take a solid step back or whatever. But he was a co-defensive coordinator at Boston College in 2023, comes to Green Bay in 2024 just as a pure defensive assistant. Like not even assistant linebackers coach, certainly not linebackers coach, just Packers defensive assistant. Like that's it. Just basically kind of, you're going to be here and you're going to have to work your way up. And that's what he's done his entire career. 2015, he started as a Boston College grad assistant. By 2016, already worked his way to linebackers coach at the University of Hawaii, where he stayed for 2 years. 2018, he became the linebackers coach for the University of Massachusetts, or UMass. 2019, he became a grad assistant at Ohio State, which is where he got hooked up with Jeff Hafley at that point. Then he went to Boston College with Jeff Hafley, spent 3 years as the linebackers coach there. Then in 2023, became the co-defensive coordinator, so promoted again and linebackers coach. And then really for the first time in his career, sort of took that step back to be the defensive assistant in 2024, had to do that for all of 1 year before he gets a promotion again and becomes the Packers linebackers coach this year, at least per all reports. I love that he's been with Jeff Hafley since 2019. I love the fact that he's basically consistently promoted almost year after year after year after year and continues to grow. He knows the defense. He's worked, obviously, with Tyron Hopper, Quay Walker, and more specifically, Edgerrin Cooper. And the big thing here is that he is going to have the opportunity to continue that progression that Anthony Campanelli made with those three young linebackers. I think the consistency with Edgerrin Cooper is going to be key. I think hopefully continuing to unlock Quay Walker is going to be key. And they have a third round top 100 pick in Tyron Hopper, who hasn't had that opportunity yet. His progression also going to be key. This is three big time players for this team, three big investments, and it's now going to be up to Sean Dugan to get the most out of them. I don't know that he's going to be Anthony Campanelli. He's going to have to walk his own path, be his own coach, be his own guy. But I like this hire for Green Bay. I think it makes all the sense in the world, and I'm excited to see what he can do with those three young linebackers. If you missed anything that happened on any of your favorite shows, like, for instance, if you want to go back and listen to the entirety of the Mason Crosby show from yesterday, I highly recommend doing so. It was a phenomenal episode, and you get all of the emotional stuff that went along with it, plus, again, that awesome announcement, and just getting to see Mason kind of go through that entire situation was really, really fun. You can do it. You can download for free on the Odyssey app or go to thefanmilwaukee.com. Catch up on anything that you might have missed. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at @TheFanMilwaukee. We are going to be right back with Luke Braun of the Locked On Vikings podcast. But this is the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Welcome back to the Packaday Radio Show. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch and Ellis is coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on The Fan. But right now, I'm so excited to be joined once again by Luke Braun, host of the Locked On Vikings podcast. You can find him on Blue Sky at Luke Braun NFL. Luke, it is great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
What's up, Andy? You're like the one of the only Packers fans that I like to talk to.
I take that as a compliment, I guess, but I can understand it entirely, obviously. But no, it's great to be back chatting with you. I'm doing well. How have you been? And how's your offseason been treating you?
No, offseason's been fine. No, I really mean it, man. I think there are a couple people in the Packer world that are doing some really, really, really great stuff that I enjoy, even though that's my least favorite team. So I really, good times coming on. Excited to do it.
I can say the same thing for you from a Viking standpoint. So I appreciate that a ton. It means a ton, sincerely. And I can say it right back at you, because when I do get to talk Vikings with you, which is something obviously I don't usually make a habit of doing, but it is always enjoyable. It's always fun. And I do love really kind of picking the brain of where things are at from a Viking standpoint, because, you know, you got to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So I want to start. Of course, one of the big things this week has been the Myles Garrett conversation. It's one of the biggest things to come out of Super Bowl week so far. The first thing I want to ask you, I think, is a rather simple question, but maybe there's some complexities to it. It would seem on the surface, the Vikings just went out, got Andrew Van Ginkle, Jonathan Greenard. They traded up for Dallas Turner. I would be willing to bet, based on where they're at right now, that Myles Garrett is not in their purview. It's not something that they are attacking, but I just want to make sure, is there any chance that Myles Garrett could be a Minnesota Viking?
Not outside of the, like, never say never that you would always say, but they also are short on draft picks because of that Dallas Turner trade up. They've only got a first, a compensatory third they're scheduled to get, and a couple fifths. That's their whole draft right now. So I don't see them trading away a bunch of picks to get a fourth edge rusher. Two of their guys just made the Pro Bowl. They're probably set there. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so as well. So then let me add on top of that. You have three other teams in the division, Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, that could theoretically make some varying degrees of sense for a Myles Garrett destination. As a Vikings fan, or as somebody who covers the Vikings, what level of concern do you have, if any, that he could end up within the division, not as a Minnesota Viking?
A lot. It feels like all three of those teams could be reasonable targets. I really do just want him to stay out of the division.
Yeah.
That is the kind of, like, here's the deal, though. He's an edge rusher, right? If there is one strength up front for the Vikings, it's tackle. Christian Darrisaw, when he's back, he might not be back for the start of next season, by the way, but he'll be back at some point in the season, is a Pro Bowler in his own right, or Pro Bowl caliber, I guess, in his own right, because it's harder for O-line guys. But that is a guy I fully trust. We want him against Myles Garrett all day. I trust you. Okay. You need a chip or something. We can fit, like, that feels handleable. And Brian O'Neill on the other side is not far behind him in my estimation. So I get more concerned as a Vikings fan with teams that have, big time Jeffrey Simmons, Dexter Lawrence, you know, game wreckers on the inside. I mean, we saw this with Kenny Clark for years and years and years. It's the same group of people that it was last year. But, and it's really hard to argue that the interior has even gotten better at guard from it the way it was, like, just 2 years ago.
Sure.
So that's where more concern lies. But, like, look, man, we've had Khalil Mack in the division a while back. That was bad. That we don't want that. I would much rather, give me your corpse of Preston Smith and Darius Robinson. Like,
yes,
I'll take that.
I totally get that. I totally get that. Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan when you guys went and got Grenard and Van Ginkle and Dallas Turner either. That was not something I was a huge fan of, but, and that worked out great for you guys. Certainly Grenard and Van Ginkle. Van Ginkle was always, I thought, one of the most underrated players that they signed, that any team signed this past offseason, and that certainly came to fruition. He's such a fun player.
Yeah, he has been awesome in that he is the perfect, like, 3-4 outside linebacker. He's actually good in coverage.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of just... like just the way that you're supposed to drop in those zones when you, when you're, you know, simming pressure, you're coming off the edge, you want to drop. There has to be a lot of precision with how far you open your hips, whether you open your hips to the correct side, when you square back up, where that landmark is, how you relate to routes. It's not the same every single time. It's not just drop to the hash. It's drop to the, you know, to the inside shoulder of the new two after the switch release. It's like, that's a lot. And even watching Dallas Turner kind of grow in that way was, I think, the most exciting part about his rookie season. But Van Ginkle's phenomenal at it. Of course, you know, the one pick six against Aaron Rodgers in London speaks for itself. Obviously, the thing he does against screens is awesome. He could have had four pick sixes this year. It's been awesome, not to mention all the sacks and stuff. Very much a deserved Pro Bowl season. And not even the best guy in the room.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Yeah, it's a really fun room, which is, again, why I think it probably does not make sense for Minnesota to go in that direction. We're being joined by Luke Braun, host of the Locked On Vikings podcast. Excuse me. You can find him on Blue Sky at Luke Braun NFL. I'm assuming you kind of answered this already, but just to clarify, if I told you right now that the Packers gave up, let's just say, two first-round picks plus Lucas Van Ness for Myles Garrett, I'm assuming you would rather the Packers just go and use their two first round picks and keep Lucas Van Ness than getting Myles Garrett? Or would you be like, you know what?
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah.
Well, addition by subtraction. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
and you get rid of that guy and you don't have to worry about him anymore. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm sorry. I've never liked him even pre-draft.
I totally get
and,
it.
And I, so for me, and I think this is why you and I get along, I hate bad football more than I hate any team.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I see like Eric Wilson screw up for the Packers, I'm like, come on, dude, come on. Or and Chris Barnes or whoever, like, name, you know, your bad Packers linebacker disaster.
We can go on like the whole time. Just the
right. Like, there's a history. So, yeah, getting rid of Lucas Van Ness would not move the needle much for me. But yeah, two first round picks for Myles Garrett. I think that would be a good, that would favor the Packers. And I think somebody's going to do less than that. It sounds like it's going to be more like a first and a day two pick.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to cost that much. And I think whoever makes that deal will be getting good value.
Fingers crossed. Not maybe for you guys, but from a Packers standpoint, it would be a nice to have. I
keep him out of Detroit, man. Him and Hutch next to each other. Like, please, no.
Yeah, that
just Hutchinson
happen.
Would just get one-on-ones all day long in the most Fugazi sacks. Like, please, no.
Yeah, I think it's almost more of a reason for Green Bay to do it, is just to almost make sure even more that Philly or Detroit or one of those teams does not end up with them, especially if, like, Cleveland, and not all teams are like this, but if Cleveland's like, well, if he's not going to be in Cleveland, we want him outside of the conference, they should not be thinking that way, because they should just be thinking, we need to get the best stuff that we can. But
And you can tell a team that and get more from them. We're doing it in the conference, you got to throw in a seven. Like, you can get something from that. But I would imagine that Myles Garrett's camp himself has a lot of say in this too. If there's a team he doesn't want to go to, if there's a place he doesn't want to be, if there's a place that can't pay him the contract he wants, like, probably renegotiating a contract is part of this. So his agent's going to be in all the conference calls too.
Yep. You would very much think so. So this is going to be very interesting. And right now Cleveland's saying that they don't want to, and are not going to trade him. So that's obviously a key piece as well. A transition into kind of the Vikings offseason from an outsider's perspective. Question 1A certainly seems like it's the quarterback position, and what's going to happen with Sam Darnold and JJ McCarthy. Is that the same internally? Is that the same for you guys? Or do you guys feel like it's a foregone conclusion one way or the other?
You know, I felt like it was a foregone conclusion until about Christmas. And then things started to feel different emotionally in Minnesota. They had essentially entered the season, and this is publicly known. They had entered the season before JJ McCarthy got hurt with the intention that Sam Darnold would do the best he can for as long as whatever, and then JJ McCarthy takes over at some point, and you're just kind of feeling out when the right moment to do that is. And then JJ McCarthy gets hurt, but the the idea was still, okay, this is a Sam Darnold year. And by that point, you had kind of seen what he was doing in training camp. You had heard what you had heard from the 49ers about it, and it was kind of bearing out. And so there was a, there was confidence, but it was still like trepidatious. It was still like, you know, maybe, right? We'll believe it when we see it.
Exactly.
And then, you know, a couple of games happened, and then it's like, okay, when's the other shoe going to drop? When's he going to pumpkin and all that? And by the time you're like, man, it is like, it's minus 10 out and the pumpkin still hasn't happened. I think this guy might be real.
Yep.
And while he totally choked away the end of the season, right? Total disaster in Detroit, total disaster against the Rams. I think a few weeks removed from that now, we've seen, you know, the story of the league is away from what happened in Wild Card Weekend. Now we're talking more about what happened to Detroit, right? What happened to the Commanders in the NFC Championship? They own 50 on the Super Bowl. Like, now that it's kind of everybody's removed from it, the good of Sam Darnold's season is starting to shine back through because the taste in our mouth is starting to wear off.
Sure.
And my understanding, based on reporting that Jeremy Fowler has done, Dyler Orsini has done, and other private conversations, they don't know right now. They've got 6 weeks to figure it out. They've got forever to sit and talk about it. But right now, they've basically, they went into the season with an answer, and they came out of the season without an answer. And they might end up in the same place that they started the season in, but right now they have kind of been forced to reconsider their options, different tag options and stuff. But long term, JJ McCarthy is still the guy, which I think is a deal breaker here. Sam Darnold can get a long-term deal from someone in free agency, 100%. If the Vikings don't want to give him one and he has a say in it, meaning, you know, they didn't tag him,
right?
He's not going to take a one-year provisional deal and risk, you know, having a regressive year and maybe losing tens of millions of dollars. What if he gets hurt? All that's like, his value is as high as it has ever been ever right now. Go get your three-year, 15 million dollar Baker Mayfield like contract. Yep. Make your money, buy a nice house, and, you know, go be the guy for somebody in a way the Vikings will never let him be, because it is still JJ McCarthy long term.
So let me ask you this. Luke Braun, host of the Locked On Vikings podcast, who you can follow on Luke Braun or on Blue Sky at Luke Braun NFL. If you were the GM, if you were making the decision here, or maybe just in general, what do you want to see? Do you want to see JJ McCarthy be the guy going into next year? Do you want to see 1 year of Sam Darnold and then give McCarthy a little bit more of that leeway, almost treating it like this is his rookie year? Or do you just want to see Darnold on a long-term deal and see what you can get for JJ McCarthy in some sort of trade scenario?
I'm going to sound like a huge homer, but I'm kind of good with any of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's an answer here that is obviously wrong. And if you know me, I've been very opinionated about that. Basically, the entire time I've been covering the Vikings, it's been Kirk Cousins. And I think the Vikings made a lot of decisions there that were apparently at the time, like it was apparent that they were wrong. And I think it ultimately led to Rick Spielman losing his job, were some of those Kirk Cousins decisions. Right now, I feel like, yeah, it's short term, right? So if you do decide, let's do another Sam Darnold year, and then you're wrong, and you wasted a bunch of money for a year, it's a year. You as a GM, you don't think in years, you think in decades. And so I don't mind it. Now, again, the world where they get punished, let's say they let Sam Darnold walk, he goes and makes a Pro Bowl for the Titans or whatever, and the Vikings go with JJ McCarthy and he's a bust. I can still look back in, you know, without the benefit of hindsight and say, yeah, but knowing what we knew at the time, it felt okay. It felt like a reasonable decision. So personally, I think it's all totally fine. It's, I think, a lot more of an emotional decision than maybe it should be, but it is. It's just the way things are. These are emotional. Yep. Kevin O'Connell's an emotional guy. He does kind of hard on his sleeve, and I think he makes decisions a little bit with, you know, with the quarterbacks, the guys that he's close to. And I think that's playing a lot into this. Personally, I think the best move is to let Sam Darnold go make his money elsewhere. I think the tag, like keeping him in, just feels like you're swimming so far upstream. Go with the kid. It's okay. Go with the kid. Bring in a Marcus Mariota or some, you know, veteran backup mentor, somebody for him to have a formal competition with in camp, but that is over by the first preseason game. And then let's just go on with our rookie and have that be our guy. For Kwesi too, like, you drafted a rookie top 10, your career's tied to that guy. Yeah. If he's out, you're out. If he sucks, you're done. And that's just the way it goes with quarterbacks. So play that out. But if they do another year of Sam Darnold, I'm not going to complain. That sounds fun. Cool.
if they want somebody who can beat out by week one, you do still have Daniel Jones as an option, by the way, as well. Yeah, like that could be.
He's more of an option than people are giving credit.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Like, yeah, like he was brought in to be potentially the next Sam Darnold. Oh, yeah. Sam Darnold got expensive. And that was the way the conversation went, like early in the year when they were like, they thought about this, you know, no stone unturned, right? Like they considered the scenario back in August. What if they win 14 games and Sam Darnold makes the Pro Bowl, you know? And if you said that in August, people would laugh at you. But hey, you know, you're sitting in the room going, okay, well, let's just consider what would we do in that scenario just in case we all get surprised. And the answer was, but then he gets expensive. So we'll probably let him walk and go make his money. And, you know, we've got this, and then we're going to draft. We've got this kid we drafted. So bringing in Daniel Jones, I think, was a little bit of, well, Sam Darnold's probably too expensive for us now. Let's bring in another guy that's not going to be expensive, that can still, that's been a first round bust, that's, you know, been through the pressure that JJ McCarthy's under right now. And knows how to say, hey, you know, don't get in your head about that interception. Here's a time I did, and I threw two more. That's the kind of lesson Sam Darnold was supposed to teach JJ McCarthy, and probably did. And I think Daniel Jones can be that same guy. And then again, you know, you have a camp competition between the two. If JJ McCarthy can't beat out Daniel Jones, then you probably don't want him in anyways. So it's nice that you have somebody there. But in all likelihood, JJ McCarthy takes over when he's ready.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I know Sam Darnold was in all likelihood going to be the starter going into the season, but yeah. McCarthy was at least like sniffing the Darnold territory of like, he was really impressing in camp and in preseason. And it like looked like it was going to be a when, not if he would become the starter at some, and maybe it wasn't going to be in 2024, but if I remember correctly, he was playing pretty well in camp and preseason in the one game that he played.
It's hard to know. So from what I saw, which is, you know, from a distance, Darnold was very clearly the better quarterback in camp, and he was playing well. Like what happened this year with Darnold was visible in camp. You could see that this was going to work. And it wasn't that McCarthy was doing poor. It's just Darnold was like on something. but McCarthy, how in the weeds do we want to get about mechanics? His thing, you ever see a guy pitch on the mound, right? You watch a baseball yep. pitcher and their leg swings way out and they almost fall forward over themselves when they throw, right? They throw so hard that they do a front flip almost.
Yep.
And McCarthy was doing that. Part of it is that his like biggest flaw to me at Michigan was that he'd always wanted to zip it. He always wanted to put a bullet on it. There was never to use like Madden terms, you never click the lob button. It was always the yep. bullet button. And that would get him in trouble sometimes. And it would make his deep passing not as good because he never really got that like touch. So you wanted that touch. And a reason that there isn't that touch is because he over-rotates his hips. You want to think biomechanics, right? You put your cleats hard in the ground, they grab the turf, they ain't moving. You twist up against that, right? Think about like twisting up a towel and you're yep. going to snap it. Well, if you're leg is, and hips keep coming through and almost fall over after you throw, well, that means a bunch of that twisty motion didn't get transferred to the ball. So you're losing power and so he's got to wing it to kind of make that velocity back up. So what they were trying to do was get that over rotation out to get a more casual throwing motion. And I'll actually say, I think Jordan Love has a really good one here when he steps in. I hate sure. how much he does his back foot thing. I know it's his thing. He
doesn't step into it often.
But when he steps into a real one and he's not like fadeaway jumpering it, you see the proper like he stops his motion at the proper time. Go look at a Jordan Love, your favorite Jordan Love touchdown, and watch where his hips are when the throw is gone. They're going to be square to the target, very nice and casual, and his toe is going to be his back foot is going to be just up off the ground, toe just kissing the ground, like in The Princess Diaries when Anne Hathaway gets kissed. That's what you want. You want just that little flip.
A little kiss.
Yeah, just a little kiss, right? It's you'll never forget. I know that's a funny analogy, but you'll never forget what I was talking about now.
Yep.
So that's what we were working on. And we had probably gone from, you know, over-rotating by like 70 degrees in college to down to like a 30 degree over-rotation by that preseason game, the only game he played. He was still over-rotating a little bit, but it was getting better. Sure. And I think once that got better, you know, that, and that was evident and apparent. I'm not like, that's not reporting, but it's very clear that's what they were trying to get him to do because it was changing very rapidly. And then he got hurt and he can't work on that anymore. So whenever that happened, I think that's when he was going to go in. I think it came down to that, and it wasn't going to take all year to me. Gotcha. But it was never really a consideration to put him in before that mechanical thing was done. You're not going to just rush him in. You know, it would have maybe if Sam Darnold threw 5 interceptions week one and lost to the Giants, and it would have been a disaster and he would have been forced into it. But that's my very long-winded answer to Sam Darnold was always going to be the week one starter. A lot of national people couldn't wrap their heads around that because we don't ever give quarterbacks time to develop anymore. Green Bay might be the only team left that does that and doesn't get, you know, endless, well, where's Jordan Love? You know, in 2020 when Aaron Rodgers is winning MVPs, I'm sure kind of throws people off that scent. But yeah, it was always going to be Darnold week one, and then it was going to be McCarthy when he's ready. And I honestly could have seen a world where Sam Darnold got pulled without even having a bad game because the kid's just ready and it's time.
Yeah, I could have seen that. It pains me to say it, but it definitely felt like the Vikings were handling the situation the right way and did kind of everything. Just as unfortunate that, unfortunately, McCarthy got hurt. Really quick, Luke, before we get you out of here, again, you can find him a host of Locked On Vikings podcast. It's fantastic. If you're a Vikings fan, even if you're not, it's like the stuff like this they're in from Luke is worth checking out regardless. He's an unbelievable football mind, so make sure to do it. But before we get you out of here, just a couple of quick storylines that you're kind of keeping an eye on, whether it's free agency, draft, whatever it might be from a Vikings standpoint this offseason.
Right now, they've got a couple of possible extension situations in Byron Murphy and Cam Bynum, two vital members of the secondary, both looking like they're going to make a lot of money if they hit free agency. So we got to make those decisions. Vikings have the cap to do it, but what's their plan? Especially if they tag Darnold, all those questions get a whole lot harder. Those are probably the big ones. And then it's just a matter of what they do with the draft. They've got still Garrett Bradbury in a contract year. He's cheap, but he's Garrett Bradbury. Are they going to try to upgrade that? Are they going to try to upgrade other guys on the interior line? Everybody but Dalton Risner is under contract. Every week one starter last year is still under contract. So are they going to replace guys? Or are they going to just kind of let them play out their contracts and replace him when it's natural to do so? But they're probably going to have a really active free agency. They've got a lot of needs and a lot of money. So they're going to be getting players. You're going to see the Vikings very, very spendy in free agency. And just how spendy they can be depends on what they do with some of their outgoing guys that are happening right now. We're also on Harrison Smith retirement watch, by the way. He's gotcha. Thinking about it right now.
Is
probably won't hear
Jones
about that till. I wouldn't hate it. I'd be fine with it. There's a lot of options. I mean, it's running back, right? There's a lot of guys around everywhere. But to be honest, a lot of the running backs, both in the draft and in free agency, are a bunch of Najee Harris's. It's a lot of very conservative, very, you know, you're not going to rip off a 70-yarder, 3 yards in a cloud of dust types. So I would love to see Aaron Jones come back. We probably got as much as we could expect to get from him health-wise. I don't think he missed like a full game ever. He came out for a drive or two with a hip thing or this or that. But he really, I mean, the locker room took to him, the coaches took to him, the fan base took to him. What a nice guy.
He is. It's hard seeing him in purple, but it doesn't change the human being that he is. And he is phenomenal and deserves whatever he wants to do at this point. So if that's returned to the Vikings or go elsewhere, so be it. But you know, he's one of one, that's for sure. Speaking of one of one, Luke, I cannot thank you enough for doing this. Tell us what we can look forward to on the Locked On Vikings podcast and anything else you want to plug on the way out.
Sure. This is the time where we do a lot of cap stuff. Not as much cap figuring as we've had to do in previous years. So it's a little bit more about who are the free agents? Who are we talking to? A lot of draft stuff coming up as well. Even though the Vikings don't have a ton of picks, it's still very fun to do. So I've been looking at draft running backs a lot, if you can't tell. So that's the world right now. But you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts, Monday through Friday, wherever you find, if you find Locked On Packers as well, you can find Locked On Vikings right next to it and cross over that one twice a year, more than twice a year. We'll probably talk in the offseason sometime too.
For sure. Well, go follow him at Luke Braun NFL on Blue Sky. Cannot thank you enough. We are going to be right back right after this on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Mamma mia, mamma mia. Mamma mia, let me.
You have a chance to get more of a Kuz with a steal. Kuz on the run and slams it home.
True story, that's actually the only Kyle Kuzma highlight in the history of his career. Welcome back to the Packaday Radio Show. A huge thank you to Luke Braun for joining me in the second segment there. He's absolutely phenomenal. I know we don't like complimenting Vikings fans or even talking Vikings football that much. It gives you that sick taste in your mouth, but
Luke's fantastic, and make sure to check him out over on the Locked On Vikings podcast if you want to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Also, Vegas College Basketball Championships. It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. Winning is super easy. Just download the free Odyssey app today, log in and listen to The Fan or any participating Odyssey station. Listen each day for a minimum of an hour for your daily entry. Tons of big prizes, travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination. Visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. Plus, you get $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the College Basketball Championships. Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Fan today for your chance to win. I do want to talk, Tommy, about this possible Kyle Kuzma trade. Chris Middleton, apparently plus stuff for the one, the only, Kuz, Kyle Kuzma of the Washington Wizards. I'm going to give you some stats here, Tommy, that are going to really wet your whistle and get you super excited
about
a potential Kyle Kuzma trade. This is per our friend Nathan Marzion of Behind the Bucks Pass. Of course, Pack-A-Day podcast as well. He's joined us multiple times here already on the show. The Wizards' net rating is 10.7 points worse when Kyle Kuzma is on the court for them. He literally makes the worst team in the league significantly worse.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem great. I would argue, though, if he makes the worst team significantly worse, what would he make the best team significantly better?
I don't understand, Andy, how the Bucks have to give up a pick as well.
I'm going to get to that. All right? Because I'm actually not as insanely opposed to this as maybe some other people are. I have some reasons here.
Okay.
All right, the second thing from Kevin O'Connell. Kyle Kuzma is posting career worst shooting numbers from two-point range, three-point range, the free throw line. It's the worst season of his entire career. I cannot fathom why the Bucks would consider moving Chris Middleton for Kuzma, no matter how old Middleton often looks. And then from our good friend Ty Windish, who's going to be joining us tomorrow on the show, which I'm really excited about that conversation. It's going to be fake trade city, assuming that the Bucks haven't already completed all their trades, in which case at that point we'll just break down the trades instead. Just watched all the possessions from Kyle Kuzma's 31-point game in the Wizards' win versus the Wolves that snapped their losing streak before it set a new franchise record. Should be the most charitable game possible to pick. Quote, the Bucks should never, or should under no circumstance, acquire this player. I am not a, you know me, I'm a Packers guy. I did not go and watch the all 22, or I guess all 10 in this case of, Kyle Kuzma. I did not go and watch a ton of film. I did watch some Kyle Kuzma. I actually went out and tried to get a little bit more familiar. And I got to agree with our friend Ty here that it's not pretty. It is really not pretty. I said in jest that the highlight we played at the onset was his only highlight, but there's not many more. It's been a very rough season. Just to look at it statistically, and we read from Kevin O'Connell there just a second ago of how bad of a season it's been. Field goal percentage, lowest of his career. The lowest was a 43.6% back in 2019. He was at 46% overall field goal percentage last year. He's at 42% this year. Again, lowest of his career. His three-point percentage, this is his career, 36%, 30%, 31%, 36%, 34%, 33%, 33%, 28% this year, significantly lower than it's basically ever been. Two-point percentage, he's been above 50% his entire career, was at 53% last year, 49% this year. His worst before this was his rookie year at 51.1%. He's significantly lower. His free throw percentage has been basically above 70% his entire career, had a little blip at 69% in 2020. It was at 77.5% last year, 60.2% on free throws this year. Rebounding, his total rebounds, he has not had below 6 rebounds per game since 2019. He was at 6.6 last year. He was at 8.5 in 2021. He's at 5.8 this year. His assists were 4.2 last year, 2.5 this year. It's just all over the place. He was at 0.7 blocks per game, 0.2 this year. Everything is worse. Everything is worse. Points per game, 22.2 last year, 15.2 this year. It's remarkably bad. But what I will say is this. I'm gonna give you, you have to immediately react, Tommy, to what I say. So you have to have an immediate reaction, okay?
Okay.
All right. Are the Bucks championship contenders this year?
No.
Okay. Are the Bucks championship contenders with anyone that they can get in the trade deadline?
Possibly.
Okay. Should the Bucks trade away everyone and start over from scratch?
Everyone but Giannis, yes.
Okay, interesting. So here's where I think they're at. And this is why I think this is an interesting, or why they're considering this deal. I think they're getting to the point where they're recognizing they are not a championship contender right now, that there is not a player that they can go and get that's going to make them a championship contender. I don't think any of the, you know, potential big names out there are going to put them, A, either are going to be too complicated to get, or B, are going to even put them over the top over a Boston, New York, Cleveland, and then like a Thunder anyway. And then I think that they're also recognizing that it's probably not the right idea to just sell everything off, even if it's, you know, Dame, Lopez, et cetera. Like, I don't think that they are to that point quite yet. I think if they do that, it's going to be an off-season decision.
Yeah, so but I think, if they're going to sell off, Andy, with Chris Middleton, wouldn't you at least like to make it look like it's an effort to get better? It doesn't even feel like that if Kuzma comes to the team.
But see, I don't think they can do that. I don't think that you can get something appreciatively better for Middleton unless you're starting to give up first-round picks again. Or
sure,
like,
yeah. But it's a similar position that Kuzma plays, at least. Like, mix it up. Let's get something different who's at the same level then as Chris Middleton.
Totally fair. But I think even that, because of the contract for Chris, is going to take that first-round pick, maybe even the second-round pick too, or, you know, some of your young players. And I think that they don't want to necessarily go in that direction. I think if they do this trade, it has nothing to do with Kyle Kuzma. If they do this trade, it is an admission that this is their best way to get under the apron, and that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
The second tax apron, so that their 2032 first-round pick is not frozen, so that they actually have some more roster flexibility with trades going into next year. Like, there is some harsh, harsh penalties if they don't get under the second apron, and I think they're finding it a lot harder to get off of Pat Connaughton than people were expecting. I think some people were thinking, I even myself, that the second-round pick plus Connaughton are going to be able to get them off that pick, or off of Connaughton, and I don't think it is. So one team said it would take like a recent, or like a soon first-round pick coming up, and the Bucks don't have one until 2031. And I don't think the Bucks want to give up that 2031 just to get off of Connaughton to get under the apron. So I think this is basically the admission of, like, we recognize it's not going to happen, and we don't think we can just sell everything off, and this is our best way to get under the apron. And that's now their goal. And I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying that that's what they should do. I'm saying I think that's the pivot here. And if that's what it is, I don't know. I guess I get it, because I don't think they can win it this year. I don't think there's a player that they can bring in to win it this year. I guess you hope that, you know, Kuzma finds his way back to even the level he was playing at a season ago, and that this blip with the Wizards was just a nightmare on an awful team. But it would be, I think, very underwhelming for a lot of Bucks fans. And with that, let's get to our final thought of the day.
You got to do some smart thinking.
It's time for Andy Herman's final thought of the day.
What are you thinking?
Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
What the hell were you thinking?
You're listening to the Pack a Day radio show on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
My final thought of the day, this is going to be a very important few days for the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think this is franchise altering is probably strong. It could be, theoretically, if they go all in for a Jimmy Butler and somehow find a way to get him to Milwaukee or make some sort of significant trade in that regard. It could be if somehow they go in the opposite direction and realize, hey, this ain't it, and I don't see this happening, but trade away a significant piece on this team like a Dame Lillard or something like that. It could be franchise altering. But even if they just make small moves, if they give up that first round pick, if they get under the apron, however, like, they do some of those things, these are going to be things that are going to change what is going to happen in 2025 and 2026 season. And they need to figure something out here of what the direction of this team is going to be. As we just kind of talked about, the team's not good enough right now. I think we all understand that and know that. Now the question is, do you double, triple, quadruple down at this point, try to make one more move, or do you realize it's a sunk cost, and to continue to put more resources into this team is only going to get you further down the drain and is going to stop that ability to rebuild it at some point. It's a very interesting decision. It's a very interesting conversation. One that I'd kind of like to have a little bit more with Mitch Nellis, who I see is hanging around. Mitch, how you doing, my friend?
I'm great, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How excited are you for the Kyle Kuzma era in Milwaukee?
Pretty much like 0%. You know, it's a little befuddling to me. I mean, I feel like he was a bit of a star on the rise, and the Lakers kind of gave up on him. And when they did, it was surprising, because I thought he could be the kind of guy who would be a great complement to LeBron, like this big who can rebound and can shoot threes. And the more you dive deep into it, kind of like you just did, his shooting has just gotten worse and worse. And I get that he's probably taking really bad shots this year. And I also think there is the opportunity that he goes somewhere where he's a role player and where he doesn't have to be the man and doesn't have to deal with Jordan Poole, who's probably a knucklehead, even though he's Milwaukee's own. And that, like, he could be a good player again who shoots 36% from three and averages 6-7 rebounds a game. Like, I think he can still be that player. But at the end of the day, I don't know that that moves the needle at all. And that's like, and if that's the ceiling, man, the ceiling's the floor.
Yeah, it's super underwhelming. There's no two ways around that. And here's the thing is, I could buy into that a little bit more if, like, let's say he was still shooting like 77-80%, you know, somewhere in that range from free throw percentage, right? If he was like, he gets to the line and at least his shot's looking really best defense, so maybe there's not a ton of defensive rebounding opportunities. But if his rebounding was still sound and everything else, like, you looked at it and it was like, oh, like, all of that stuff looks good, you know, I would understand that. But when your free throw shooting's down to 60%, down 17 and a half points, insane, basically, from a season ago, I don't have this feel that he's just going to all of a sudden start making open shots.
So my mind, that's kind of, I have a baseball analogy to that. It's like when you have a starting pitcher and either their velocity's way down or their location's way off, just kind of out of nowhere, that usually means there's an injury.
Yeah.
Whether the player admits to it or not, whether you can actually see it on the field or not, when something that drastically happens, it usually means there's an injury. And so I wonder if there is an injury, if something's going on with Kuzma, and or if it's a mental health issue. Like, listen, I gotta think playing in Washington's gotta suck.
Yeah,
and I, you know, I don't know what's going on, but we all saw how it affected Damian Lillard last year. Like, mental health is health; it's real. And it can change the trajectory of your season, of your career, whatever. Like, I wonder if something's going on with Kuzma. I'd love to say it's just like, oh, because you play in Washington and Washington's horrible. I don't know what's going on in his personal life. I don't conjecture there. But, like, I would. That is something. If any team that's looking at Kyle Kuzma, I think it's you gotta at least think about, like, A, physically, is there something wrong? Or B, like, mentally, is he okay?
I kind of just mentioned this obviously to Tommy as well. I don't think there's anyone in Milwaukee. I'd be stunned at least if anyone in Milwaukee is looking at this and being, this makes us a better team. To me, this is all apron cash oriented. This is to get under that second apron, give you more flexibility to try to rebuild the team again. You know, have that 2032 pick not frozen next year. I think that's more of an admission of where they're at right now. But it's going to be interesting. I know you're going to be talking a little bit more about this on your show, correct? Coming up, you've got, I think you've got Matt Issa coming up from Forbes
Matt
Sports.
Matt Issa, NBA reporter, Forbes.com. We're going to talk some NBA with him, talk about the trades, talk about the Bucks specifically. We'll also talk about the Bucks. I threw up a question on my Facebook page, and we've got a ton of response about, like, would you be sad if they traded Chris, or is it time to trade Chris? We'll also get into college hoops today. Badgers and Marquette both in action last night. One team trending the right direction, one team not trending the right direction. We'll recap our day with Mason Crosby yesterday, and we'll go through the list. I think you guys did this yesterday, but we'll go through the list of some of those names the Packers have. The Packers aren't attached to them. We as fans have attached the Packers to a number of these free agent or guys who want trades or guys who need a new change of scenery. And so we'll go through that list as well.
Awesome. I'm excited for that. I can't wait for you guys today to talk all of that, quite frankly. I'm definitely going to be tuning into the Packers stuff, though, because you know that's where my heart lies. And the Bucks will probably break that heart. I think maybe some Bucks fans are going to need a mental health day if they trade for Kyle Kuzma in the coming days. But we will cross that bridge when we get to it. Have a great show, Mitch. We'll talk to you soon. All right, bud?
Thanks, Andy. Always great to catch up.
Likewise, we have to do it again soon. Huge thank you to Tommy as well. Tommy, appreciate you, my friend. You're the absolute best. Stay tuned for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11. Again, Matt Issa, Forbes Sports coming up. Find the Pack-A-Day podcast 365 days a year wherever you get your favorite podcast. Ty Windisch coming up tomorrow. Excited for that Bucks conversation. But this has been the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Enjoy your Wednesday, everyone.